Israel thought about Sodom and said, oh, Sodom. Right? Today, we're in the unfortunate position of being the United Kingdom looking at Israel, going, oh, oh. While Israel's looking at Sodom, go, oh, oh. And maybe we sit in this room and we go, yeah, Sodom. What are they like? But, oh no, it's us too. That's really the point. To hear that and to go, man, it's not good to have pride. To have your full of food and to have ease, relative ease, and to enjoy it while the poor and needy suffer outside our door. Don't want to get caught out like them. That's the blade. It's just a close shave. No one's coming for your throat. But that's the point of it. So why mention this today? It has to do with the verses that we read in Exodus when the covenant of God was made. In Exodus chapter 22, in verse 21 through 24, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear the outcry, you see. And my wrath will burn. And I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Very strong words right there in Exodus chapter 22. And then if we take it here, we may consider the issue locally. Caring for the weak and the helpless, right? Widows and fatherless children, orphans. That makes sense. So what do I do to care for people who are weak and helpless in my community? I can take that. And then in Exodus chapter 23, just a little bit down in verse 9, it says, you shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Right? So the widows and fatherless among us, as sojourners internationally today, we can recognize that in this modern day epic known as the refugee crisis, can't we? Are there not people waiting to get in? You know? And then there's crazy statistics. You'll hear about Germany. Germany letting in something like 800 refugees this year as a percentage of their population. You know, it's like 0.001% of the population. They have 85 million people, so they're letting them in. If you think about a nation like Lebanon, do you know where Lebanon is, just north of Israel? Lebanon, population 4 million, has let in 1 million refugees. So as a percentage of their population, it's actually 26%. Of the actual population of Lebanon. Now, Lebanon itself, the 4 million who were there already, so many of them were refugees from previous conflict and have become, you know, citizens. Of the 800,000 refugees that Germany has admitted in, they actually only afford 35,000 places to become members of Germany's society. So a refugee is a short-term admitting, and then now you need to leave. 35,000 of 800,000 get to stay. So you think it sounds good. Thank you for letting them in, but they don't really stay. The United States, funny numbers, 70,000 refugees a year. But of the 70,000, so many of them actually become part of society and stay. So a lower number that come in a flood, but great many who have to go through this whole rigmarole to become citizens. The UK is not doing well. It's not doing well. Although David Cameron has said we're going to do, what did he say, 20,000 over 5 years? I think that's what he said. So, but so far, up until that great announcement, the number was 6,000. So as a percentage of the population, it was 0.0001% of the population. Very small. So that's what we have going on. Are we people who have... like what's that quote that I just read? Are the poor and needy suffering outside our door? Now, if I compare us to Germany, just statistically from something that comes out of the newspaper, you get that picture, you know. And if I say, but what do we do for the poor and needy among us? So society as a whole, what is Kleckmann and Schur's budget, and how do they spend it? And so we pay taxes. So that's part of how we treat the poor and needy among us. And then also, what is Scotland's commitment to 20,000 over 5 years? Is not even that many, 1,000 a year. It's a pittance. But I'm sure we're convinced that we can't handle any more. Although, who was Lord such and such who came out and he signed a letter criticizing the British government saying, you can handle 75,000 a year, easy. We've done it before. It happened during the Balkan crisis in the 90s. And that's without even hearkening back to what happened in the world wars. So what do we do about that here in this room? You know, can you write a letter to someone who is an elected representative? You can. Do you? That's a democratic system. Do they listen to those letters? You know, if you write it by hand, it gets more credit than if you take a letter off of the internet that's already been written for you and sign your name at the bottom. They actually put those in a different pile. It's more ignorable if it's a mass-generated document. But if you write your person who represents you, it'll have some effect. But do you pay their paycheck? You just pay with a vote. Who pays their paycheck so they can get their vote? Get your vote. This pulpit isn't for teaching you how to be savvy with a particular form of democratic government that we've chosen. Looking at the scripture, what are we going to do? The exhortation today is to not turn our backs on our neighbors, isn't it? We may feel that times are tough. We may regard the situation as not of our making, but God has provided us with incredible wealth. I mean, the poor in this country have television sets and drive cars. So that I don't have room for these people thing. You have to stop and say, where did that idea come from? How did you decide, if you think that that's the case, or if you insist that you don't, well, how do you represent in a community where I hear the loudest voice a little bit like, yeah, well, we're doing as much as we can. I mean, everybody can't do everything, so we'll take some. Give us a teaspoonful of all of that trouble. And why don't they take care of their own country? Why is everybody running away? Why are all those men turning their backs and running from the evil that's come upon their land? Why do they not stand and fight for their children and their wives? Maybe it's a losing battle. Maybe it's a fool dies, but he who runs away lives to fight another day. Maybe that. I mean, I can't judge this person who says, am I a conscientious objector who's going to get away? Or am I a person who's going to fight and be as bloody as the other guy over ideology? I don't think people want to die for ideology. You know, you get the head of your corporation saying, go fight John Doe. Right? You get the minister in the pulpit saying, we should be citizens and patriots and go fight. We got memorials in the park full of names of people who had that. And then Jimmy Bryden, who died earlier this year. Jimmy Bryden, who told me, you know what? I went over when my son married this gal, and I sat in his living room. And he said something in German, and people laughed. And I said, what did he say? And the guy said, nothing. He didn't say anything. He said, no, what did he say? And the granddad, right? Or I guess the father of the gal. I think it was the grandfather, wasn't it? He said, we chased this guy off the beach. And in Dunkirk, I forget the name of the place. Where was the place where you retreated from France? Dunkirk? Yeah. We chased him across the beach in Dunkirk, and now he's in my living room drinking my beer. That's what he said. Jimmy said it. He was pleasant about it. The war was over. There was no hatred in that room. This was two families come together because their kids love each other, and there they were getting married. But decades ago, mortal enemies trying to kill each other. Except when you get together on the occasion of a marriage, you realize, boy, there's not really reason for us to fight over this, is there? And so these people who are fighting in a war in Syria, do you understand Syria? I don't understand Syria. How do you know anything about Syria? You've been told, haven't you? And who's doing the telling? Who told you what to think about Syria? Did you research it on the internet? Have you spoken to a Syrian? Who's the historian? Who's the journalist? Who's telling you what you think about Syria? I know I don't know. But Again, this pulpit is not for the guy who's got, you're a hostage to my words to say politically what I want to say to you. It's not my goal. I know that I muddy the water with my personal zeal and disposition. I realize you can suss out maybe Fraser thinks this or that about politics by what he says. But what the scripture is saying to us is to care for your neighbor and to not be so comfortable and to deny any help to people who are right there on the doorstep suffering. We need to feel that today. And the scripture is bringing it to us.